1 terminal power plant. We are expecting President Akufo-Addo alongside the Energy Minister, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Pepe, and then the CEO of the Volta River Authority to be here to officially open the K1TPP. We're being told that after the official commissioning of the K1TPP, initially, or what be it what may, we would have some stable electricity to contribute to the national grid. And so you'll be from my left, is the arrival of the Energy Minister, Minister for Energy, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Pepe. We are expecting President Akufo-Addo to be here very soon. Earlier, the Asantehene was at the commissioning of the Jinsa gas plant, power plant here in the Ashanti region, where he made mention of how it has become difficult to observe government move away from policies to the establishment of companies or industries. He was hitting hard on government, not focusing on policies, rather giving its attention to industries and companies. We also heard the Energy Minister give some remarks at the commissioning of the Jinsa gas pipeline in Kumasi, where he says that the relocation of the Ameri plant, as it used to be called, to Kumasi, is to help boost industrialization or boost industrial growth and also help employment in the Ashanti region. Be what it may, it will also contribute to the national grid. We can listen to the Energy Minister, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Pepe.
All right, Nanaya, also, if Dr. Opoku-Pepe, the Energy Minister, is ready, we can bring that to our viewers this afternoon. He's been talking about the advantages the region stands to gain from the new plans that they are bringing in. We can listen to the Energy Minister, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Pepe.
The benefits of this project is not seen but today, but very soon. The projects, the number of jobs it would make happen in Ashanti region. Like now, when we look on our right, if you are sitting on your left, AXA Power and AXA Energy is going to build a huge plant also to serve to create power in Kumasi. VRA itself has started. In fact, they have other plants it's going to bring to Kumasi. And also, SNIT is also bringing plants. I know they've bought a plant to also come and locate in Kumasi. Very soon, there's so much power to help industrialization in Ashanti and beyond. When you go into the history of Ghana, Ashanti for years was the hub of industrialization in the country called Ghana. And surely, under the Osei Tutu the second, Ashanti will come back as the industrial hub of this country.
So I'll take you live again to Angomaso in the Ashanti region, where the Ameri plant, rebranded as Kumasi Thermal Plant, will be soon to be inaugurated by President Akufo. Nanaya is still with me here live from the event grounds. So Nanaya, walk us through the program this afternoon. I understand that this is expected to address technical losses and then ensure reliability of power supply, especially in the middle and the northern sector of the country. But what exactly is the program this afternoon, if you can walk us through?
If you could come again,
This particular plant, the Ameri plant, the main objective of it, or the reason it's been taken to the Ashanti region, is to ensure reliability in power supply, and of course to address technical losses. And then we'll be there to serve the middle and the northern sector of the country. Walk us through the program this afternoon as we await the arrival of President Akufo-Addo.
Elton, according to the Energy Minister, aside having stable electricity or reliable power or contributing to the national grid, Ashanti region is somewhere that they can never take aside or they can never look out when it comes to ensuring stable electricity. And so that is the main reason why they have to relocate the plant from Takrade to Kumasi. We spoke to the chairman of the Energy and Mines Committee in Parliament, Samuel Atachiam,
who has been saying that it was very, very necessary for the Energy Ministry alongside President Akufo-Addo to sit down to conclude on bringing the plant to Kumasi, where we'd have the plant supporting the middle and then the northern part of the country. And so aside looking at the industrial growth, we are looking at sustaining power and also contributing to the national grid. Well, Samuel Atacha has also been hitting so hard on the opposition, especially the minority, when it comes to their claims on government spending so much to rebrand and relocate the plant to the Ashanti region. He says that it is not realistic to state that President Akufo-Addo is spending so much in relocating and rebranding the plant, especially bringing it to the Ashanti region, and even to say that it is a political gimmick or for political vote buying. He says that the claims made by the minority could be rubbished because whatever the case may be, we are contributing to the national grid, and then the focus will not just be on the Ashanti region, but will be across the country itself. And he has also been saying that it is important for President Akufo-Addo to continue what President Mahama started, because we cannot just look outside the box. We cannot look behind what the former President Akufo-Addo cannot look behind what his predecessor did. He should also look in between, or look at what his predecessor did, so that he can also make good use of it and also contribute to the energy sector. And so after the commissioning of the Kumasi 1 thermal power plant, Elton, we are expecting that electricity would be in a way whatsoever stable, and also have the middle and the northern part have some modernized way of enjoying light when it comes to the energy sector and its growth in general. So very soon we'll have President Akufo-Addo seated and also give his address or officially commission the plant.
Much, and you already there for us, because we'll come back live to you when the event is finally underway, so we can hear comments from the Energy Minister, the Ashanti, and of course President Akufo-Addo. It is a big day in the Ashanti region, because the ultimate aim, according to the Ministry of Energy, is to ensure reliability in power supply for the middle and the northern sector of the country, and also to reduce technical losses. We'll come back to deal with this matter even more further, because the man who actually facilitated the entry of Ameri into the country in 2015 eventually had to resign as Power Minister, Dr. Kwabena Dunko, has been providing some insight into it, and also says that he feels vindicated and exonerated, if you like, because remember that after the NDC lost power in 2016, his home was raided by operatives of national security in connection with the contract surrounding the Ameri power plant. Now, some years on, he says that the case has not made any progress, meaning that he did no wrong, and he's been explaining that to us. We're going to bring that to you very shortly. But this afternoon, we're also looking at the PURC directive to board members of the Electricity Company of Ghana to pay some monies for failing to comply with some directives that were advanced by the PURC. You know, almost 6 million Ghana cedis is outstanding for these individuals to pay. It also came to light that the ECG is operating some 61 accounts, contrary to earlier directive by, you know, the president, and of course per the IMF, you know, directive for the ECG to operate just one single account. This is also raising some eyebrows, and we're going to have spend some time to deal with this matter. A member of the Mines and Energy Committee in Parliament, Edward Bauer, has already joined me, and we're going to explore this matter. And then when the Ameri rebranded commissioning is on, we'll take you live to Kumasi to bring you the very latest on that. And also hear from Dr. Konrad Onko, who has a lot to say regarding this particular matter. We'll take a short break and we'll be back.
By the end of the 4 years of my term in office as president, Accra will be the cleanest city in Africa.
Our rivers are choked. Our streets are hoarding it. Our landfills bursting. Our trash bags overflowing. And even the air we breathe carries it. Filth, it is everywhere.
Normally, there is a container here where they put the baller inside. But right now, they haven't brought the container back.
The Filth exhibition, a Joy News series, presents the alarming state of waste management, sanitation, and refuse left in our communities, presenting a compelling and urgent need for action.
Right, so this is an afternoon of power, electricity, energy, all put together from every angle. And I'll take you live to the Asante Regional Capital town of Angomaso very shortly when the event is finally underway. But there's also another angle to the energy story that we are looking at this afternoon, and it has to do with the directive that came from the PRC to the ECG and the subsequent resolution that the PRC passed. So the Electricity Company of Ghana failed to fully comply with the public utilities' demand for it to furnish it with details of all bank accounts and investment accounts currently operated by the power distributor. The ECG currently operates 61 bank accounts, according to PRC statement, but only presented details of 36 accounts to the PRC. The PRC says initial assessment of the data revealed substantial discrepancies in the financial reporting and operational transparency of the ECG. Member of our desk, Kofi Ajay, will join me with more as we have been digging into this matter. Also, member of the Mines and Energy Committee in Parliament, Edward Bawa, joins me via Zoom. Let me bring him on now. Mr. Bawa, it's good to see you again this afternoon on the Pulse.
It's good to see you too.
All right. So, before we talk about ECG and PRC, now, AMERI, which was a controversial subject in 2015, is now giving some life in the middle and the northern sector of the country with the commissioning today. You have some few comments to spend on this matter?
Thank you very much. Yes, I think I do. This is a topic. This is a subject that not only was I at the ministry, but post the NDC government, I've written about two or three articles on, okay, just to be able to do some clarification. But on specific, you see, you if you watch on the media space, particularly the social media, and I think on the electronic media also, you have the chairman of the subcommittee on energy for the Bomia campaign,
Kujokoku,
indicated that the basis for which AMERI is even being changed is because the name is associated with rent seeking, the name is associated with corruption, the name is associated with anything that is not good for energy sector. Mm. And that is the part that I feel very sad, and it's also unfortunate. But this is the same gentleman that I had worked with in the civil society space. And I knew his comments before that.
Right.
But just to the main issues, look, the AMERI deal was not just by virtue of the fact that the NDC says, oh, it was a good project, and the NPP say it is not a good project. That is not it.
Yeah.
The issue goes beyond that, because when the hullabaloo came up, the president, the then president, decided that, look, if you people felt that this project was not good, let me let an independent auditor do value for money audit.
Right.
And so PricewaterhouseCoopers conducted a value for money audit on AMERI and compared AMERI to other existing IPPs, eight or nine IPPs, and looked at certain parameters. And in all those things, AMERI scored very high. I'll give an example.
Yeah.
They compared AMERI to eight of the existing IPPs on the basis of, for example, on the composite generation tariff.
Mm.
The AMERI's composite generation tariff was 14.59 kilowatt hour. If you compare it to the average of the nine existing IPPs, it was 14.9. It meant that AMERI did better than the average of all the nine put together. That's the point. That's the first.
Right.
If you look at it in terms of the the capacity tariff, AMERI was the lowest. AMERI was doing 5.5 per kilowatt hour.
Okay.
And it was the lowest among the nine. And I'm just giving you all, if you were to take it from installed cost per kilowatt hour and levelize it over 20 years, AMERI was still the lowest. So it was no surprising that one, when they raided Honorable Commander Donko's office and took up all documents, they didn't help. Two, it was not surprising that in their attempt to renegotiate a meridian, all it landed was that, one, they made the deal more expensive, and that's why it was kicked out. And that's why Boajie Jaco lost his job.
Right.
But the more important, you know, they even increased the tenure from 5 years to 6 years. But today, you have a situation where this is the same plant that the president is in Kumasi to rebrand and present to Ashanti Region as if he has created a new plant, as if he has brought in a new plant. It's the same plant. And of course, I've always indicated that typical of him, this is what he will do. But where we should be looking at, and Elton, you are a very serious journalist. Mm. This is where we should be looking at. It is not the pomp and pageantry that is going to happen today or is happening today.
Mm.
What we should looking at is the cost of the relocation. Because you and I know that, one, it was sole-sourced in the midst of all competitive environment,
mm,
where we could have gotten best-case scenario.
And from the committee point of view, is the $38 million, how much was spent on the relocation?
So this was what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So initially, it was around $24 million. Then suddenly, we realized that the price was revised to around $38 million.
Mm.
We met VRA at Oak Plaza Hotel. And we asked VRA that, look, this is what we're hearing. And the VRA said, look, we had given a proposal to government, to the ministry. And our proposal was that we were capable of doing it ourselves because we have in-house capacity to be able to relocate it, and we have engineers who can do that. But the ministry was not interested in that. Since then, we have not gotten the details, apart from the fact that we know that it is a private company that came in to do it. We are interested in knowing what is the cost. Anybody who speaks about this issue, whether from government or even from the majority side in parliament, is refusing to state exactly how much it costs to relocate it. It is an area we want to look at.
But for several years, Mr. Mahama, you've always made a point that you want a probe into the cost of the transportation, if you like. But you are yet to take that next step.
No, we have that. We have asked, and no answer has been given to us.
Okay.
We have asked, and no answer has been given to us. And that's why we are saying that, look, we'll continuously ask for a probe. Because remember that in situations like this, when government is not willing to open its books, like the topic we are going to discuss, which has to do with ECG,
yes,
if the government is not ready to open its books, there's little you can do about some of these things.
Mm.
Look, just the past week or so, the chairman of the Mines and Energy Committee had directed that ECG, for example, should bring up a timetable. Up to today, they have not brought up a timetable. You know why?
And it's our discussion list.
That decision is an executive function. And the point I'm just trying to make is that unless government is interested in being transparent and accountable to the people, they will try to hide it. But we are saying that we will continuously call for a probe into the relocation, and particularly to bring to the fore what were the details in the award of the contract for the relocation and how much it was involved.
All right.
This is an issue that will not die today.
Of course, Mr. Edward Bawal is member of the Mines and Energy Committee, and also in the studio this afternoon is Kofi Ajay from our research desk. Kofi, quickly, let's run through the ECG, the discrepancies in the bank details provided by the ECG, and we are told the 61, even before the 61 figure came in. All of us were of the view that ECG was operating over 30 accounts.
Mm.
And apparently, they were operating even more. Walk us through the details, and then we'll bring back Mr. Bauer.
Well, yesterday, we were having a discussion just looking at the number of commercial banks in Ghana. And we said there are about 23 commercial banks in Ghana, and ECG alone has 61 different bank accounts. It means that they have multiple accounts
with different banks.
And why is this so important? Now, ECG is not only dealing with PRLC at the moment. The company has to perform a new structural benchmark that government has set under the IMF program, and ECG must lead this charge. The new structural benchmark is the fact that the fund believes that the energy sector is one of the debt-making machines in our country, where we estimate that the debt that the energy sector generates about $1 billion, you know, every year. Debt from even excess capacity alone is somewhere in the region of $500 million.
Right.
So it is important that when you are trying to make your IMF program work, mm-hmm. you also, you know, try to tighten your energy sector also to make sure that it suits the program. And just like you see on the screens, 61 bank account, that was the details that ECG gave the PRC. Mm-hmm. They requested for details on all of them, but they ended up giving them just 36.
36 out of the 61.
Absolutely.
There are some accounts that ECG has not been able to provide details.
Yeah, 25 accounts.
And these are all active accounts.
These are all active accounts that the ECG has actually provided information to the PRC. Now, why would the ECG have 61 accounts when it is just one company? What will motivate ECG to have 61 accounts across the length and breadth of the
country? But in corporate practice, this cannot be wrong.
Well, it cannot be wrong, but to have 61 accounts for a state-owned enterprise, you can actually smell something. I mean, maybe I may not say it, but for you to have 61 bank accounts, I think that it's too much. Mm. It's too much. 61 is a huge number. If there's no problem with it, I don't think that the IMF will tell you now to merge all the accounts into a centralized bank account. Now, let's go into the IMF provision and what they say. So, in the IMF program, and I'm reading from the Article 2023 Article 4 review, which tells us some of the new structural benchmarks that government must meet. Mm-hmm. And this is what ECG is leading it. The reason why it is important that the name ECG was mentioned 21, the acronym was mentioned 21 times.
In the IMF program.
In the Article 4 IMF program, you know, document.
And what does it say?
So, if you look at it, it says that, go to page 8, it says, successful implementation of the energy sector recovery program measures require transparent and accountability in ECG's operation. This is the first opening statement by the IMF program. It says that the ESRP proposes a new merge to merge ECG's sub-account into a single collection account. This account will be audited on quarterly basis, and the authorities will publish the final report of July to September 2023 audit by end of February 2024. This is a new structural benchmark that we must meet as a country. Mm-hmm. It goes on to say that this report will highlight audit findings concerning purchase invoices, revenue collection from ECG customers, and the disbursement to IPPs, SOEs, and fuel suppliers under the cash waterfall mechanism.
All right. Kofi, so what are the directive on this from the PRC?
So the PRC actually want to make sure that this is done, so that we'll be in line with the IMF provisions. But if you look at what the PRC put out yesterday, some of the benchmarks that ECG was supposed to meet or the orders, they met them partially. Mm. In fact, with their bank account, they could not provide all the details. And so yesterday we saw that they were fined 36,000 Ghana cedis. Mm. Now, it is important because this falls under the cash waterfall mechanism, where the IMF again here is talking about SOEs. Mm. SOEs, there is Akosombo there, there is Bui, who are all producing power for ECG to distribute. Mm. Now, we understand that the ECG or the cash waterfall mechanism has two categories, A and B, where it looks as if ECG is giving priority to the category A, you know, sector players.
Leaving the B people out.
The B people out in the value chain. And you ask yourself, these B are state-owned enterprises. Mm-hmm. So how do you expect them to survive?
And to the extent that we've been told that we, for example, at some point had to go to the bank to raise overdraft, to pay salaries
But
ECG, the off-taker, was not paying them.
Yes, and ECG is holding more than 446 million Ghana cedis that they are supposed to disburse to these state-owned enterprises. And since August 2023, they've not done that. They've deducted the money from their collection within the period and
but it's not going.
But it has not been.
Thank you very much, Kofi Ajay, from our research. Now, let me bring in again Mr. Edward Bauer, member of the Mines and Energy Committee. Mr. Bauer, so did this matter come up when you met players in the industry? This account that has become a subject of controversy?
Basically, these issues, before even we met them, we knew about these issues. Mm. Why? Because your colleague has indicated very clearly that there had been a clear admission of the fact that, look, if you look at the debt accumulation in the energy sector, there was a need to do something about it. Two, they assessed the value chain in the power subsector and realized that the ECG was the weakest link. It was just because they could not account for the power that they produced. And that's why they said they should merge their accounts into a single account. Subsequently, the president goes ahead to say, merge your accounts. Ordinarily, or maybe just common sense will tell you that the appointee of the president would have complied with that particular directive. Now, PURC says, look, already between Ministry of Energy and Ministry of Finance, they had appointed PwC to look, to first even audit the accounts based after the directives of the president to see how much we have in it. Mm. Only to come and realize that, one, ECG was not forthcoming with the accounts that they were giving, they were pledging. Indeed, at the time of the audit, they only submitted only six accounts to PwC. So PwC in their own finance have indicated that, look, we are unable to have a true sense of how much ECG was collecting and how much it was expending on its own internal operations and how much it was paying to the players in the value chain. Indeed, but one thing they could establish, that based on the amount of money they have spent within that period, and looking at the projected revenues they were supposed to get, they were spending more than what was assigned to them by the cash water hub, the cash waterfall mechanism. They were supposed to be spending around, they are entitled to, they fall under category B. And they are entitled, within the category B, they are entitled to 20.17%. And they had spent far beyond the 20.17%. Fast forward. Now we now get to know that not only were they operating 37 accounts that we taught, they are now operating 61 accounts. But that is not even where the problem is.
Because I'm wondering what is wrong with that in corporate practice.
But the reason is because we are trading the money, we can't find the money. The issue is that, look, you simply cannot even account for the power you are using. Now you are supposed to pay people who you buy power from. You are unable to do it. The state says that we'll create a mechanism. And that mechanism is supposed to make sure that we put all the money in one pot. And when we will pay the people in the upstream sector. Mm. You are not doing that. And when the money comes, when you sell it, you distribute this money in various zeros accounts. So we are unable to know how much you actually sold in terms of power, how much you actually collected in terms of power. And that's the point I'm just trying to make to you, that based on the tariff approvals that were given to them and looking at the sales posted by ECG themselves, assuming because they were given a benchmark of 98%, so they said that collection losses of 2% was allowable and factored into the tariff. Mm. So what they meant was that by during that period that we're talking about, August to now, they were supposed to have collected about 8.9 billion thereabout. However, they said, look, let's even leave the 8.9 billion. But the figures we all agreed on that you had collected, which was supposed to be the 7 billion, even that 7 billion, you only posted into the cash waterfall mechanism, the account, you only posted about 4.9 billion. So it means that you had excess of about 2 billion that had not been posted into the account. Where did that money go to? Mm. But that money was supposed to be used in paying all the players.
Right.
And the part that is sad is that your colleague was talking about the two categories. We have the category A that is made up of the IP, and category B, which is made up of the state-owned enterprises. Now, the arrangement is that because the IPPs are private sector organizations, the priority is given to them to pay them first. And usually they take the juicy part of the money. Mm. The crumbs that are left, government says that, look, we have a formula that you are supposed to take that crumbs. The government has to pay an addition because, remember, the government is the shareholder of ECG. Mm-hmm. So the delta that is involved, the government is supposed to pay, add it to it, and they share it among the people. As we speak, from August up to February, after the document that was brought out, no dime was given to any of these SOEs. It is rather in March that they did the payment.
And I understand that this is impacting heavily on WE, for example. Gridco had to suspend maintenance on some of their plants because of this issue.
Not only WE, WE, Gridco, all the agencies apart from ECG are suffering. And all of them are depending on overdrafts to pay salaries. And that is the truth of the matter. Meanwhile, ECG is there and spending most of this money on procurement. Mm. And that is why I think that this is scandalous. This is, in fact, based on the report that has been given. I see PURC's findings are not based on independent data they may do. This is based on the data presented by ECG itself.
Absolutely.
To them. Mm. So these are the facts they are gleaning from ECG themselves. And I'm sure that, remember that most of these documents, they are still studying them. Mm. I'll be surprised if there are no more scandalous issues that I can. Because, for one, if you have a whole state entity that is bold enough to sign a statement to lie to Ghanaians, that part of the reason why we are having the load shedding was because we were doing, most of their transformers were overloaded. Mm. And therefore, they were doing a replacement of that. And we've come to realize that out of the 630, or maybe if you even look at the 715 that was presented in the report, 626 of them were 100 or below. So it meant that they were never overloaded.
Right.
So you had only about 89 that was doing that. And meanwhile, you had Samuel Dubik Mahama was bold enough as a public servant in the midst of crisis to sign a letter, a statement, lying to Ghanaians. And ECG, our PRC has just simply exposed them for the liars that they are.
Let me come in briefly here. I mean, so what do you make of what can best be described as, I mean, complete disregard to authority and even to the regulator in the way that the ECG has conducted itself in these reports?
Look, let me tell you, the truth of the matter is that if we're living in a very serious country, Samuel Dubik should not have a job today. He shouldn't have a job today. If we're living in a very serious country, the board members of ECG should have all been fired. But you see, we are not living in normal times. We're living in a place in a country where the breaking of laws can be done in a very with so much impunity.
Financial implications imposed on them. Is that not punishment enough for you?
Look, financial implication does not necessarily mean you should keep your job. The financial implication is not a substitute for the punishment for being incompetent. Mm. The companies have lost money as a result of this. Ghanaians have suffered because remember there's a social contract between the producers, the utilities, and consumers. Consumers are not getting the best service, even though they pay for their bills. They are saying that even if I'm not getting the best service, the law says that if you are not going to give me power, tell me within 3 days that at least I should have 3 days notice to tell me that I am not going to get power on the third day that I'm not going to get power. Mm. You have not abided by those ones. That is what they are punishing them for. But I'm saying that beyond just bridging the laws, I am saying that ECG, the board and the board that includes the MP, should be packing their bags and leaving their office. Because this document is scandalous. It is something that is unacceptable. And if we're living in a very serious country, Samuel Dubik should have signed his resignation letter and then as he saved the small, respect he has left for himself.
You from the Energy Committee, you've done some work on this. You are here to report your findings to the Speaker for the necessary direction that will come from out of it. Are you in any way interested in what the PURC has put forth? What value are you putting on it? And are you going to do further work on the expose in the PURC documentation?
You see what PURC has said has never been different from what we are saying, because exactly, we have had the facts from the utilities. Mm. All the things we have seen is what PURC has said, because we already know that these are the facts. Indeed, we have come to realize that the current crisis that we have, 70% of it is as a result of finance. And the reason why the financial issue is becoming even more pronounced is because ECG has decided to behave as an indisciplined player within the value chain. That is where the problem is. And that is why we are saying that until we correct the ECG part, and I'm not surprised that consistently everybody, including the IMF, locates ECG as the problem within the value chain. Mm. And even now we have managers who are not committed to ensuring that even the small that we can collect, we use it judiciously. Look, I've always given an example that you are a parent in the house. You borrow to feed your children. You borrow to pay school fees. You borrow to take care of their medical bills. The money comes. What will be your first line of action? Your first line of action definitely will be to settle those indebtedness that you have incurred as a result of trying to provide some particular type of quality life for your family.
Right.
You don't go contemplating on painting your house. So when you have a situation where you have so much debt owed to these utilities in the upstream sector within the value chain, instead of looking at the payment of these people as a priority for them to meet their operational cost, what you do is that you rather use that money for procurement for your internal operation
That is indiscipline. And that is why I said that somebody like Kelly Gajiko, who resigned, should have resigned many, many years ago. However, it is better late than never. He's gone. The other board members should leave, and that the MD himself should be packing his bag and leaving that office.
And if they don't, you expect the appointed authority to act?
I will continuously raise the issue that they must go. They have lost the right to occupy those offices. They have lost that particular right, and they must leave the office. I am surprised that they are still there. Look, the management of what do you call it, ECG, and the board of ECG have played a serious camp on us in terms of PR. They have created an impression that the current or the new management of ECG is a management that is doing so well. Look, the last time they were doing they were trying to recover their debt owed by consumers.
Yes,
they had announced that about 7 billion was going to be collected. That was the target they had given. That 7 billion was going to be collected. At the end of it, they announced that they had collected 5.7 billion.
Right.
Ask them why did they put that 5.7 billion in the cash waterfall mechanism for them to apply to all the players in the value chain. Go to Ghana Gas today. Ghana Gas, they are spending money. Ghana Gas is pumping money into the supply of gas to the utilities. But they are not being paid. And because they are not being paid, they also cannot pay GNPC. Mm. For GNPC to also now sit down to see to pay their partners within the upstream sector and the petroleum sector. What kind of indiscipline is this? And so I think that, President Akufo-Addo checked out many, many months ago as being the president of this country. So he can't be bothered as to what is happening. I am really irritated by the fact that this is a sector that we were struggling to see how we could bring it back to normalcy, to ensure that we can have reliable and affordable electricity supply to Ghanaians, devoid of debt and stress. What these people have done under President Akufo-Addo is to mess up the sector. And they have now appointed people who simply cannot be bothered about whether the country has a viable power sector or not. They can't be bothered because in their houses, they can put on generators and have lights. And when the lights go off, so they can't be, and they can afford to buy the fuel. Fuel that is skyrocketing, fuel that is making people not to even be able to get their daily bread. Because they can afford those things, they can't be bothered. And Elton, today, this afternoon, I'm so irritated. Because I'm just disgusted by the level of indiscipline that is being perpetrated within the industry. Then you have the president sitting in Kumasi that he is coming to commission a particular plan that he didn't even do. I mean, this is an apology of the country.
Right, Mr. Edward Bauer, all fired up. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon. And of course, the ECG did remain tight-lipped on this matter. All board members cited in the PRC report, they've made it clear that they will not speak to this matter. At least for now, and then subsequently they will speak to the media. But the ECG MD is actually out of town. You know, PDS also took government to court, and then there's an arbitration ongoing in London, and it's also there. And again, this is an energy, you know, infused pause this afternoon here on Joy News, and I will take you to Kumasi. I also bring you Dr. Kwabena-Addo's reaction to the Mary issues and the fact that his house was raided. He was investigated. He claims that he feels exonerated by the current development. So we'll take you to Kumasi and we'll bring you that interview. But now let me take you to Washington, D.C., because the IMF is projecting that Ghana's economy should rebound strongly from next year following the current recovery being recorded. The fund is therefore projecting 4.4% end-of-year growth for the country. Joy Business' George Wiafe joins me live from Washington, D.C. with the latest on this matter. And George, it's really good to see you from the other side of the world. And it appears the IMF is just upbeat about growth improving. But even inflation, I mean, walk us through what is informing the optimism in the Ghanaian economy from the perspective of the IMF. And if you can unmute for me, George.
Is it better now?
Yeah, it's better now. Now I can hear you loud and clear. Please go on.
So, Elton, this is based on a research that they put, or a report they put together in terms of their World Economic Outlook report, where they do scenarios on every country that is a member of the IMF. And one can say that when they do the extrapolation on the economy, it appears that the reforms that are taking place in the fiscal area and even monetary area is gradually impacting on the economy. To quote one IMF official who's argued that, listen, all the targets that were set under the FAR program, Ghana has actually overmet, if I can use that expression, the targets in terms of growth, the military targets. And based on these indicators that they explore, they look at, and that is why they think that growth is going to rebound strongly going into next year. Even government itself was looking at around 2 or 3.3% next year. But it appears that the fund is very, very robust about the economy going forward. And this is hinged on the reforms that are taking place in the various sectors of the economy as a result of the IMF program. And based on all these things, the fund strongly believes that growth will pick up strongly next year and even going into 2026, Elton.
You hear all these nice words, and of course, you also do know that we are at the spring meeting to try and see our way clear in terms of assessing the next tranche of the IMF fund to Ghana. And there are some conditions that we must meet, including, you know, having that agreement with our external creditors. Can you update us on this matter?
So, Elton, when the team came into town to carry out their second review, one would say that at the staff level, we have completed the second review. Now, what is left for the IMF is to take this report to their management and again to their board for approval in terms of whether indeed we have met all those critical targets under the IMF program. And Elton, the data that the IMF was looking at was ending December. Mm-hmm. Now, one critical thing that Ghana needs to meet before the staff can take Ghana's report to the board for approval and the disbursement of some $360 million is that memorandum of understanding that we should reach with the bilateral creditors. Mm-hmm. And this is not the Eurobond holders. This has to do with the multilateral lenders mm-hmm. and bilateral creditors. And what we have picked up is that, Elton, that MOU, that deal has been reached with these bilateral creditors. And what we are, and this was even reached way back in February. Mm. Now, what we understand is that it has to go through the official creditor committee, which involves China, France, and other developed countries. Now, Elton, it has to do with the wording of the statement. It is very important that everything that is put out, all the members on that committee agree in terms of whatever deal that Ghana has reached with the bilateral creditors. And that is why we've seen that delay. So that is the very, very important target that needs to be met before the IMF staff can go to the board. We don't know why that statement has delayed. First, one that they reached in January was the agreement in principle. What we understand now is that that agreement that could lead to the MOU being signed has been reached. So it appears that that critical condition that is needed, we have met it in the staff, can go to the board and present that document. But that is subject to the official creditor committee officially releasing a statement to the IMF that, listen, we are satisfied with the terms that Ghana has proposed in terms of restructuring. They are about $5 billion. But Elton, the critical concern here, Elton, has to do with the negotiations with the Euro bond holders,
right,
or call them commercial creditors. It appears that some groups are not okay with the terms that government presented. But also, one critical thing here, Elton, is that whatever agreement that government reaches with these creditors, they need to take it back to the IMF to secure their blessings. It appears that when Ghana took these agreement that they had reached with the Eurobond holders, the fund objected to it. Why? Because, Elton, this, the main focus of this program is also trying to reduce our debt in the long term.
Right.
So don't get into any commitment in terms of the interest payment, the time we paid. That would end up ballooning your debt stock, because by 2028, we're supposed to reduce our debt stock in relation to our GDP to a very significant level. Mm. And so the fund actually has objected to those terms. So it looks like Ghana has to go back, rework those terms, and we are picking up is that there could be an agreement in principle reach these creditors who have their representatives here in Washington, D.C., in terms of reaching a deal that could lead to an MOU before this annual IMF meeting ends here in Washington, D.C., Elton.
So therefore, the revised position of Ghana may find favor with the IMF team.
It appears that. And the IMF has made it clear. Even when the MD was in town, we had a private meeting with her she stood by her argument is that Ghana should not allow themselves to be arm twisted by these commercial creditors because it is very, very important that getting to a terms.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Tyler from Wendy's here. The best part of Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart is every part. Unlike mornings, which have no good parts, until now. Because with Wendy's new breakfast Cinnabon Pull-Apart, mornings finally don't completely suck. And now that mornings have warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough and ooey gooey frosting, are they the best part of every day? Probably not, but you get the idea. Get to Wendy's today and get the best part in every bite with the new Cinnabon Pull-Apart.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Cinnabon is a registered trademark of Cinnabon franchisor SPD LLC.
Hello, saver. Whether you're saving for that trip to the tropics or saving for an emergency, now is the time to take advantage of Wells Fargo's savings options. Wells Fargo offers savings accounts that can help you save towards your goals. So, what are you saving for? Visit a Wells Fargo branch or wellsfargo.com/save to open a savings account today.
Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
The conditions in this loan repayment. And when it comes to the Eurobond holders, you're looking at restructuring about $13.4 billion. And it appears that some of these institutional investors have taken some entrenched position about the haircut that they should take. And also, they're even proposing that, listen, we are doing this restructuring now because the economy is not doing well.
Right.
We wanted an insurance where if the economy picks up, then pay us a premium in restructuring these holders. So it appears that there are some concerns with what they are demanding. But government is arguing that before this meeting ends here, they should be able to reach that agreement in principle. That should be the first step. The second step will be the MOU, and then the last step will be signing of that MOU, Elton.
Let me ask you just two quick questions so that I can let you go. Are there special programs for Ghana on the sidelines? And what is the IMF, you know, position on the global economy, seeing how oil is now becoming a tool to further depress a lot of struggling economies, including Ghana?
Let me first talk about the oil projection, because when they launched their economic outlook report, they actually highlighted that, listen, we are projecting that oil could be rising by 15% in terms of the crude price if the current geopolitical tension in the Middle East doesn't ease anytime soon. And that could see a global inflation uptick of about 2%. The fund is warning that, you know, for countries like Ghana that depend heavily on crude prices in terms of finished petroleum products, there are fears that that could derail the current recovery that we are seeing. But when the governor of the Bank of Ghana, during the recent engagement on the staff-level agreement, I posed that question to him, and his response was that, listen, we may have seen the worst when it comes to inflation, and going forward, we could see inflation trend down. And that brings me, Elton, to even the IMF itself in their report. They are forecasting that we will get back to that single-digit range of 8% at the end of next year. That doesn't mean that we won't see blips, but it appears that maybe, Elton, if I can choose my words carefully here, we might have seen the worst when it comes to inflation. And because of those reforms and the shock absorbers that's being put in place now, maybe the impact might not be that grave when it comes to inflation in this country going forward.
All right. And I also ask whether there are sideline issues for Ghana in this spring meeting that you can report.
Elton, there are a lot of them. Don't forget that anybody who plays in the finance and economic space, this is the place to be when it comes to all the central bank governors, the multilateral institutions, the bilateral institutions, the institutional investors, the bank CEOs, everyone is here. There are B2B engagements with the IMF MD from the Ghana, that is the Minister of Finance. He will also be engaging, of course, some institutional investors, the multilateral institutions, the World Bank itself as well, and also some of these institutional investors that are even trying to support the Development Bank of Ghana in terms of the long-term funding to unlinked commercial banks in the country, Elton.
All right. Thank you very much, George Graffey from Washington, D.C. is the IMF World Bank Spring meeting that is ongoing. And you heard him say that Ghana is hoping to advance a talks with the world, with the IMF with the aim of securing that tranche, because we needed to meet some conditions, including having a workable agreements with our external creditors. And that has been worked on. And so the IMF will look at it very carefully. Now, this is the pause here on Joy News. Now, remember that our story following for you this afternoon is a commissioning of the renamed Ameri plant in the Ashanti regional capital, Kumasi. And President Akufo-Addo, as you can see in your shots, already seated together with the Energy Minister, Dr. Matthew Pokuprempe, the Ashanti Regional Minister, Simon Osei Mensah, and of course, other leading members of government. And I'll be taking you live to Angomaso now, where the event is now underway.
CEO of VRA. And Lord, we thank you for the various inspired statements and speeches which will be delivered here today for the good of Ghana. We ask that you make her great and strong and a beacon of hope unto others. And now with unity of heart, I declare this ceremony duly opened in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor Eric Kofi Bwache of ICGC Ahoji Branch, for the opening prayers. Your Excellency, grant me a little latitude to introduce some very important personalities here to grace this auspicious occasion. It is my honor and privilege to welcome our true leader, the great statesman, the champion of progress and development. Over the past 4 decades, he has dedicated his life to serving the nation with pride and paving way for the progress of Africa. Please, join me in welcoming the father of the nation.
I'm here in Kraya, I'm going to go to Babaye.
And I recognize the presence of the sector minister, the Minister of Energy, and the MP for Mensah South, Honorable Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh.
Honorable Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh is one of the finest ministers under Akufo-Addo's regime.
I may welcome an accomplished economist and the longest serving regional minister in the Fourth Republic, the Ashanti Regional Minister, Honorable Simon Osei Mensah.
Honorable Simon Osei Mensah is Ashanti Regional Minister.
Your Excellency, I welcome my very own Member of Parliament for Inshaesu. Now he's the Deputy Minister of Finance, designates Honorable Dr. Stephen Amoa.
Honorable Dr. Stephen Amoa is the Deputy Minister responsible for finance.
I make welcome the board chair of the Volta River Authority, Mr. Kofi Tutu Ajare. Board chairman, Viari. And I recognize the presence of the chief executive of VRA, Mr. Emmanuel Anchidakwa.
Mr. Emmanuel Anchidakwa is the chief executive of Volta River Authority.
Your Excellency, let me again recognize.
All right, so this is a pause here on Joy News, and we will take you back to Angomaso in the Asante region, Kumase, where President Akufo-Addo is commissioning the rebranded Ameri plant, now Kumase Power Plant, in the Asante region. The aim is to stabilize power in the middle and the northern sector. But remember that in 2015, it was the NDC administration that facilitated the entry of Ameri when the country was going through severe power crisis. The sector minister then, Power Minister Dr. Kwame Adonko, was the one who made sure that the Ameri became functional in the country. Now, when the NDC lost power in 2016, in 2017, his office home was raided because of suspicion of some underhand dealings. Now, several years on, that case has yet to progress. He says that he feels vindicated because nothing untoward was done in the Ameri day. He's been speaking to us when the president and the minister, they are ready, will take you live to Angomas. But here is Dr. Donko's justification for the bringing in of the plant in 2015.
You've raised some concerns earlier about the movement of the plant from Accra to from Abuazi to Kumasi, and the fact that it actually vindicates the NDC at the time you were purchasing that. Tell us a bit of the backstory to why the movement is possible now and why you think the NDC is vindicated now.
Well, in 2015, started late 2014, but in 2015, when we contracted the 250 megawatt LM250s, that type of plant, when we contracted that, we consciously stated that the particular plant was in a modular construct, in that there were 10, 25 megawatt units which could be dismantled and reassembled. And that we said one of the advantages of having that compared to, for example, the GE frame 9s, which we were used to, which was one big 110 unit, this one gave us the option to move it around the country when the exigencies demand that. And so for us, this is just the concretization of what we had said at that time. And so I don't believe those of us involved in the power sector in NDC, any one of us has an issue with relocating the plan from Abuazi to Angomaso in the Kumasi area. Indeed, we said they should have relocated all the 10 units at a go. They've relocated 6. We are now told they will be relocating the other 4 to the same place.
To make up for the entire 250 megawatts.
Okay. Let me also put this on record. It's always been on the energy supply plan to have generation in the central corridor, of which Kumasi forms a part. And there will be two major reasons for that. One will be the grid will be far more stable. And the second is that it will reduce transmission losses. As you carry power over distances, you lose some amount of power. But if the generation is closer to the consumption area, the losses, if any, in transmission will be minimal. So yes, there are advantages in the relocation, particularly now that there's a pipeline to that place. That, for us, we don't have a problem with that. I believe some of our communicators, the issue they raised was that the way it was presented as the K1 thermal power plant, if you were not in the sector, you will not know that this is the Ameri plant.
Mm.
And that if there was full disclosure that this was the Ameri plant being renamed at the time. Remember, the notices came out sometime last week.
Mm.
VRA is now only reacting, I believe, reacting to the confusion in the minds of Ghanaians by stating that this is the Ameri power plant they are renaming. If that had come earlier, I don't think the brouhaha would have even arisen.
Mm. I'll come back to how this movement is important, especially to maximize the productivity and how it will contribute to stabilize power in especially the middle belt and the northern belt as well. But I mean, in the past few hours, we've been receiving some reactions to, again, the cost of the plant. The original cost, we are told, is some $510 million. The reaction is that this could have come at a cost of some $290 million. Ameri only played a middleman role in the purchasing, and your government at the time paid them some extra $160 million. What are the facts surrounding the figures?
This allegation is either born out of ignorance or mischief. Mm. I will let you choose whichever. When they claim that we could have bought the machinery off the shelf at a certain price.
Mm.
To start with, you couldn't buy those equipment off the shelf. These are long lease items. You order, and it takes time. Mm. You are in an emergency. So if you chose to order, it was going to take at least 6 months for them to be delivered. That is one. Two, the so-called $290 million did not include what we call the balance of plant, the swiji and all the other things you need on site. So, again, that's why I say if you are in the industry, you will realize that people are doing desktop research. They Google and find the cost of a unit from G and say, oh, so if this could have cost this much, they don't understand the industry. The balance of plant has to be procured separately. That is two. Three, anybody who understands project finance and leasing will appreciate that those taking that position are either ignorant or mischievous. First of all, if you're going to buy a car on high pitches, compared to if you're going to pay cash, do you pay the same price?
Mm.
You don't.
Mm.
To further buttress that, if you're going to, those who purchase properties, houses, if you are buying a house and paying cash down outright, I took a mortgage.
Mm.
And by the time you finish servicing the mortgage, it will at least be double the price if you had paid cash down.
So
there is what we call finance cost.
Okay.
Somebody's come to build a plant.
Mm.
You did not contribute a single cedi to it, and that the person will operate the plant for 5 years, after which it will transfer the plant to you for free. So there will be interest on the cost of the plant. There will be finance cost. And there could even be compound interest. And so you don't expect to pay the same amount that you have paid if you had cash to pay for the plant at the time. It shows a total lack of appreciation of business principles.
So if Ghana were to go to the market at the time with physical cash...
Assuming
we had the money to go to the market to procure this plant...
To plant.
It would have come at a lesser cost.
Yes.
At the $290 million.
No, I'm not, absolutely.
Not that exact figure.
No, absolutely 290 is a figment of somebody's imagination.
Okay. But it would have been less than the $510 million.
Of course.
By what margin?
I wouldn't know.
Okay.
Of course. If you had the money, 290 plus balance of plant plus transportation plus engineering services elsewhere. Yes, if you had the money, it would have been less than $510 million. But you don't have the money. Somebody is investing. Remember, in normal project finance, the combination of debt and equity, equity 30%, debt 70%, that is not the rule of the thumb in project financing. But this one, you are not even putting in the equity.
Equity is zero.
Zero. And then somebody comes, puts up the plant, generates power before you start paying over a five-year period. There is interest cost. Look, assuming you even have $510 million, there is no debt, and you are putting it in, there is opportunity cost of that money. Because you have invested that money in something else and made money. So there's
but you decide to
There's that opportunity cost.
Okay.
Yes. But here we paid zero. And in very simple terms, I believe listeners can appreciate this. If you are going to buy a house, let's say $70,000, and you have the $70,000,
you take it at that price.
You take it at that price. The additional cost will be documentation and other things. You don't have that money. You go to the bank for a mortgage. The bank may ask you to pay 5% or 10%. And then the bank will finance the house for you. And then you pay for the cost of the house over 15 years or 20 years or 10
with
years.
With all the interest accumulation.
Precisely.
Over the period.
Yes. And so you will be paying, there will be repayment and then interest again on it. And so by the time you finish paying for the house, at the minimum, it will be double what you would have paid if you had cash.
Okay. At the time we did the purchasing of the plant, do we know how much it cost in the market?
With the balance of plant,
yes, without
with the balance of plant, we'll probably be talking of with all the engineering works and transportation, we'll be talking above 350 million.
Above 350 million.
We'll be talking above that.
350.
Assuming the plant was there. But let's not forget, this was an emergency plant. And so the lead time, if you go and pay, they say wait for 6 months. The debilitating load shedding we had and now have to wait for another 6 months before the plant is manufactured or delivered. Were you prepared to wait for that?
Okay. Now, so is the rest of the work that cost the $160 million, is that what was executed by Ameri or the entire
The whole plant, the contract was with Ameri.
With Ameri?
Yes. How they got their plant here was none of our business. You sign a contract, and in the power and the oil and gas sector, they use subcontractors. You sign your contract, and your key performance indicators are what the contract would have. They are to deliver within this, they deliver this quality, availability, this. Once they meet that, do you care where they went and got their plan from? Provided they deliver within the period. But let me even go further on this. You remember in 2017, 2018, the government of the MPP went to renegotiate this Ameri contract. What was the result of the renegotiation? They came up with a figure
around 800 million, which was worse than what we negotiated under conditions of emergency.
The 510 million.
Precisely. And that led to the then Minister for Energy being asked to leave. Yes, being relieved of his position. It took Parliament, our committee, Mines and Energy Committee, and Finance Committee, Joint Committee, to point that out. And what they tried to do was to extend the contract period further. And when they did that, ultimately Ghana was going to pay far in excess of what we were paying. Mm-hmm. Far in excess.
So that renegotiation actually didn't go
through. It didn't go through because they came up with a deal worse than what we had on the table.
Mm.
So NPP and their apparatchiks have no moral right to even talk about this at this time. When today we own the plant 100% and it's been handed over to us per the terms of the contract.
Mm. So you signed a deal with Ameri and they were supposed to execute it. A name comes up, Metka. Were they also part of the plan? What role did they play in the whole installation?
They were, subcontractors of Ameri.
Okay. And so that deal...
They were not in their contract.
Went... Okay. So Ameri actually subcontracted them to
do part of the business.
It has, they have nothing to do with the government.
We didn't sign a contract with Metka.
At the time?
We didn't.
Okay. Has any of them got in touch with you as the man who spearheaded the whole thing to get the details?
I am one of the most investigated former ministers of the land.
Mm.
Remember, there was a whole lot of investigation after we lost power. National Security named it, all investigated. If they had found anything untoward, they would have taken us to court. Did we ever appear before any court of law?
Mm.
No. So it was kosher, it was above board. Unfortunately, innate desire for power, clothed in ignorance, is what is raising this issue today. After the government had thoroughly investigated, found nothing untoward, and indeed went ahead to renegotiate and did a worse job, they don't have the moral authority. Unfortunately, the young men raising this were too young to probably appreciate this at the time.
Taking 250 megawatt to the central corridor and distributing that there and then towards the northern belt. What would be the contribution to the energy sector there,
see,
and the contribution to power stability? And
you see, once you generate, you hook it up to the national grid, so it goes on the national grid. So it becomes part of the national connected transmission system. So the unique advantage is that, for example, if we take the western and the eastern corridors, sometimes we may be forced to do load sharing or import power from Cote d'Ivoire if the grid is not balanced, if all the generation for a period. There's a certain minimum generation you need in the eastern corridor and a certain minimum.
So that's the former power minister, Dr. Kamla Donkor, who's also the member of parliament for Pru. He's the one who signed on the Ameri deal in 2015. Now I can take you live to Angomaso now, where the energy minister, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh, is addressing the occasion.
Nananum, any Abusia for Ayesia Hane. And now you see her. Now the Ghana 400 and him to Obama MPP. Now, now the Dunk Akufuado. And no man there done this is all by you. Ah, why ye? Or stay at the AO. A bubaco. Then an anomaly at the Baba had yet no more here. Nanado Dankwa Akufo-Addo Bediye Mampanyin Minsuro enemaka. Se mpotem bi anywa da na koma so cha asanteman. Asanteman ni na bi miye. Ena odo so ya tena asetena pa. Tina ye na wiye ye ba ha. Ani fe fe we ebi si ye ba mu hada. Ebi si asanteman mu da. Na na do dan kwa kufu adu nti ebi asi ena wiye. No kure obinya sabia anko obeye bi obinya sabia otibi nya bi nti ana de osua wasa no osa no wachia nepa gana bali bebe ajuwa we bs ho enso obi amusa se ade na ekọ ho ebi se soja amagana yira esi wa kosombo kwa me kuma breso I see what Akuse, a champo abreso, Ebua. I see what Bui, President Kofu abreso. I see Ewa Takrade, President Rollins abreso. And then another, the Dakwa Kufuado, the NCD Sukumasia, also Kuasa Fuadu na AABI. There be Ghana and the HH, Ghana and the HH. Sa and there every ba hey. Sa and Yam Kanya, AABI, hey. That the VI for Kayano. Sa anya nukreni brodi baka efi 2014 ana greek of ni via efo jina hu se se ye pese enyu am kania jina ya e wose ye sia se e ye biwo gana mfinfiri ha asante man mu nyina enso so men ka se obi mpeso oye o de wa ye ni ebo didin de wa ye ana na adu dankwa akufu adu na we kra de enso o ni fisti asiye niye. Sena nanu, mwisho wa chingyo wa yuchia, ene faha, asasiya, agumasu ni mpejifo, ene ya mabay, aye si, ya benja ni energy no, 800 megawatts. Mempa ebwa, bebwa, ane se, na nado danko, akufwado, na nida asui, na nisu adie hui, I know what betty who he as I do for by any as I do for the city anymore. Young Amma, I buy here but two way. Now, now that I'm going to do party, no, as I do work, I say, or see, I deal your party, dear. Let them one day, Echo, would you? Oh, my, who can be meaning? I said it. E kwa kwa yese, aye mpwe cha nye didi atem. Ade sa nanado dan kwe kufwadu, wabe yewe wa santi mem. No kre, onye asanti ni. E so, enye obibi bini obio. Obibi bini de aye. Me say, meba ni ase shem rada da hoda da 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 ni se yera to se da bi ye beye da bi ye beye da bi ye fan kwa ware bebo a bie bie ne ho so a obaba fi abesre e de ye dey o do ba ma ne we dey e wa na na ku fu adu asiesie ne ho wodi na no aka wasi ne bo aba aba sempa yi fo se me kan me pese me ye okay, and so Kroura and Pupuniti. I said, you are there, Padia, Cocktail Cono, and then I brought it's a worker, so bad, yeah. But come and pay you for Bessia, near Mamma Sassi, and another damn crack for the one need us, or no, I day, I bem. Miss Yamu, Makaka Kay, sir. Man, yan and adwa nem na man na asante ni amoma so mpanyfo de kuma se ahene no mon asia na man ya de mada roma na mo ho fefe mu de abeta echi mo asanse mu yibi na ye de ye de yeye aban da mas nya bebia na ye kwa ye nya de sa yakopu nshamu na se de mu ta echi na mo ma yewo mu bie bie mo nkoso anta ye chi na ade fe fe se nkoso anye den emra kumase ni angoma so bi eto so mienu Mitsiwabi, and another Konanko could have a frebby. And I said, I want you here. Can you see your pepany? Now, Mama can't show me. Now, you come over here on your idea any day. Monja, na Mati, say, obey. Then the can you see shedding summer? Obey ya at the cassier. Bebois, then the Kaya, I say, and now what can you get the idea? The old can't hear you. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure if you're a vice chancellor. Obi or Babasa or Besser or Yeway was, I said so, on Pusuniti, Edward Chas, I said Kakaka. If he said, Ofu said, a bar, can you see Benya Home Faso, school for Babisha de Waha, Ghana Benya Home Faso, as I to my Benya Home Faso, and today the old bear they said, Oba Buam and Puncho, Akoso, Omiananas. Say, baby, I am the sir, I can see a brain, Yabin Shell. The Atoso, yes, sir. Hey, President Nankophobia, no, you more no Muya Juma. VRA chief executive and a Greenco chief executive. In Kransha, Oma Shemi, Sammy Miamba Niamba, Yamfa Wimra Santimano, and Yam Kransha Ketua, Tiamo Mabasu, VRA chief executive, Greenco chief executive, VRA board members, Greenco board members, ECG board members, and my share in Yamen Kamaho, non Shabu day, non Shabu. Me kakra be di be try to say e ba say be bi dan ya no yi aye true letter call man panyi ho say yes share no o me ye man panyi na djuma do so papa 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 eso asi ye po ye mpo bibia ensi di kwai say ne dey o ba ba no no abeda mo ase no no bi e plan to di ache mo enti yes ase le say fra no pa o say do panyi ye e wiya ya tena ha atwe no ah. Na di obo waru nua ba di otra afria no pa kosi na adwa na ide akontasika na na yegie bebuwa eno na ye di yegie se wa bei se wa bei se wa bei se wa bei wa bei ah ade na na ye da ase ma ni bi beka ho ma bi beka ho na nya me ya so num ye na wa chi so je fe 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 na ye koso di esha satibai ya bi sha mu nyina na mas.
The Honourable Minister of Energy, the MP for Manchia South, Honourable Dr. Matthew Poku Prempe. Nana do I had any epine? Mantini ye. Me say, President Nana Akufo-Addo, why had any epine?
Right, so you're watching the pause here on Joy News, and a while ago you had the Energy Minister Dr. Matthew Opoku Prempeh. This is the inauguration of the Kumasi 1 thermal plant, formerly Ameri. And according to the Energy Minister, the decision to relocate the plant from the Western region to the Ashanti region was taken in 2014 when officials from the Volta River Authority and, of course, Gridco made proposals to government about the need to have a plant in the middle sector of the country to ensure reliability of power supply and, of course, to ensure quality power supply. Because according to them, by the time power is transported from the Western and from part of Greater Accra to the Ashanti region, its potency would have, you know, reduced. And so to reduce technical losses and ensure that the power is able to get to the consumer in the state it was first transported, there was a need to have a plant in the middle sector to take the power and distribute it to the rest of the country, especially the middle and the northern part of the country. And that's how come the discussion about the relocation of the Ameri plant was arrived. And between 2014 and up until now, that's what they worked on all the way till now. And today is the day that the plant is ready for inauguration to add to the national grid. There's been concerns about how much money has gone into it. We are told about $38 million. The minority, they've made it clear that they will probe into this particular matter. But the energy minister was emphatic that the location shouldn't be a matter of politicking. because we have Akonsombo Dam in another part of the country. We have Bui Dam, spearheaded by former President John Kufuor in the Bono East region. And the Ameri or the Kumasi One Thema plant is now in the Ashanti region. What people should be concerned about is the improvement it will bring to power supply in the middle and the northern part of the country. That should be the overriding. Motivation in terms of the establishment of this plant. Very soon, we'll take you live to Angomas, where President Akufo-Addo will be the last person to speak, and then the plant will be inaugurated. But we'll take a short break and return with more on the pause. This is a pause here on Joy News. We can now hear President Akufo-Addo speak on the Ameri inauguration.
The Chair and Deputy Ranking Member of Parliament's Select Committee on Energy, MPP Parliamentary Candidate for Ofori Krom, Municipal Chief Executive for Ofori Krom Municipal Assembly, the Vice Chancellor of the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, the Chairperson and members of the Board of the Volta River Authority, the Chief Executive Officer and Management of Staff of VRA, Chief Executive Officer of the Ghana National Petroleum Company, Chief Executive Officer of Gridco, the Managing Director of Gensa Energy, the Chief of Awomaso, another traditional authority, the resident of Awomaso, fellow Ghanaians, ladies and gentlemen. I am delighted to be here this afternoon to commission the first phase of the Awomaso One Thermal Power Station. Awomaso Thermal Power Station with a total installed capacity of 150 megawatts located here at Awomaso. This project represents a significant step forward in our quest to provide sustainable electricity for our nation, particularly for inhabitants of the Ashanti region. As our population and economic activities continue to grow, resulting in increased power demand, projects such as this power station are important in boosting our energy supply to meet the expectations of Ghanaians. This power project is the first in Kumasi and by extension in the Ashanti region. It is very significant as it will improve the delivery of electricity to the middle and northern belts of the country. The project is further confirmation, if any was needed, of my government's resolve to ensuring that all parts of the country have the necessary infrastructure for development. It is in support of our determination to enhancing economic growth and social progress throughout Ghana. The Ashanti region is renowned for the development of small and medium-scale commercial and industrial enterprises, and it is my expectation that with enhanced electricity supply, these enterprises will expand and offer further employment opportunities to our youth. Ladies and gentlemen, in the course of the last 7 years, my government has had the opportunity to translate promises and assurances into result-oriented projects, especially as the Ghanaian people have in clear and absolute terms demanded results that will transform the country for all. One such commitment is the delivery of affordable and reliable electricity to drive our nation's industrialization agenda and position Ghana to become a net exporter of electricity in the ECOWAS region. Our national electrification rate of 88.8% is one of the highest on the continent, and the goal is to have full electricity access by the end of this year. In the areas of power generation, transmission and distribution, my government has made and continues to make significant investments towards the provision of reliable and competitively priced electricity to assure economic growth. This is part of our commitment to realizing the 2030 United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. I do acknowledge, Regional Minister, Minister for Energy, ladies and gentlemen, and Nananom, the challenges that the people of Ashanti and indeed of other parts of the country have had to endure in very recent times over the supply of power. And I can only thank you for the patience you have exhibited in the face of these challenges. Ladies and gentlemen, I must perforce thank Otufo Asantehene, who graciously intervened with the authorities of the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology to release a portion of their land for the construction of this power station and gas pipeline infrastructure. And I thank the Vice Chancellor of the University for this important contribution. I thank also the chiefs and people of Angomase, and indeed all stakeholders who contributed in diverse ways to making this project a reality. I am proud of the work undertaken by the Volta River Authority VRA in bringing the generating units and their associated equipment to Kumasi. Particularly, I commend the board, the management and staff of VRA for successfully relocating and reinstalling the gas turbine units, the related switchyard, balance of plant equipment, control room, cables, and all other aspects of the power plant on their own. Indeed, they have demonstrated that Ghanaian engineers from a publicly owned institution can rise up to the task of finding engineering solutions to build our nation. To top it all, VRA provided all the funds for the construction of this station, including land acquisition, permits and licenses, preparation of environmental and social impact studies, grid impact studies, civil works, electromechanical works, and commissioning of the plant. VRA, Aiko, Aiko. And I congratulate to GRIDCO, ECG, GNPC, and Genser Energy for the respective roles they have played in bringing this project to fruition. I urge the Ashanti Regional Minister to provide the necessary assistance to ensure the efficiency and safety of this very important power station. And I charge the heads of our public utilities, of our power utilities, to work to improve their efficiency and reliability so as to drive down costs. Ladies and gentlemen, the presence of this project in the Ashanti region and the improved electricity supply it will provide imply that we must promote even further the industrialization of our country. I invite domestic and foreign investors to invest by putting up viable commercial structures that will utilize the resources within the middle and northern belts to accelerate the growth and development of the country. I want to thank once again everyone involved in the project for their support and cooperation. And accordingly, ladies and gentlemen, it is my singular honor and pleasure to declare the Anwar Maso one thermal power station duly commissioned. Now, the minister is there. In playing for the war, man, when you hold the papa via a cause of Ghana, said Trady Amponyako, maybe when you hold the air cause of Ghana. May God bless us all in our homeland, God. Make our nation great and strong. And thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. President. Wonderful, wonderful speech by His Excellency, the President of the Republic of Ghana, Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you. You do all. You do all. You do all. Obian, sorry.
And that was President Akufo-Addo live from Angomaso in the Ashanti region for the commissioning of the Kumasi One Thermal Plant, formerly Ameri, now in operation. Before we go, persistent gadget repairs and thousands of cities lost in some projects continue to pose a challenge to the nation. We have more on this in subsequent bulletins. We can now log on to our website, myjoyonline.com, for more stories. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for watching The Pulse here on Joy News. For more stories, log on to our website, myjoyonline.com. My name is Elton Brobe.